as we look here in Matthew chapter 12. But if you would, we'll stand as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And I want to say this to you here tonight, and I truly want to bring something that would be of help to you. And in looking here at this particular text, my mind and my heart goes to this matter of the days that we're living in as Christians. And let me say this to you, it's not getting any easier. And sometimes, beloved, we have to deal with things that come upon us. And I can assure you the world out here doesn't have a lot of love for us. And besides of all of that, the storms of life and everything that we must endure, God knows each and every situation, the trials, the tribulations, the turmoils, the tempest, every single thing, beloved, that can befall us or beset us in this life, these things will come upon us. And I don't know about you, but after years in the ministry and years as being a Christian, I do know this. If you take a firm stand for the things of God, and you are a faithful witness unto Him, and you try to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to this lost and dying world, you're going to get bruised up a little bit. You're going to get battered and beaten down a little bit. And you don't have to be a preacher. I've had my share of it, believe me. But if you take the stand that we need to take in this day and time, listen, beloved, the world and the devil and the flesh is going to come down on you. But praise God, we got one who is greater in us than he that is in the world. So we need to take consideration of that, of what we are faced with in these latter days, in the perilous times that the Scripture speaks of. But not only that, we have a tendency as Christians to get laxed on God too, don't we? We can get in our laxness to the point, beloved, that we have become so complacent within ourselves and our work and our means, beloved, that we not only become complacent in that of our labors and our services unto the Lord, but we become complacent spiritually. And I go through dry spells like anybody else does. But, beloved, let me say this. We got to keep on keeping on. Can I remind you what the Scripture says? Yes, I'm getting to the text. Just bear with me just a moment. The Bible says, "But no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So, beloved, I don't want to be looking back. I don't want to be looking to the side or to this side. Praise God. We say, well, we need to look forward. No, I'm not only looking forward, beloved. I'm looking up because my redemption draweth nigh. And that day is coming. That day is coming soon. But I want to help us tonight to strengthen for the battle that is still ahead of us. It doesn't matter how many days that you have left, how many days that I have left. If we take that firm stand and commitment to our Lord, we're going to be faced with these things. And it is going to become tiresome and wearisome. And we're going to be fretful somewhat in our spirit on occasions. But hopefully this will encourage not only you tonight, but it will encourage me also as we endeavor to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Looking at verse number 14, Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, the Bible says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "how they might destroy him." Beloved, this was a continuing controversial doctrine issue that they was taking up with our Lord constantly. And then the Bible says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." I like that. You know, here they had ridiculed him, they had scorned him, they had condemned him for doing what? To service of the Lord on the Sabbath day. You can read before and you can read after this, but what I like is what Jesus says. He says, if you think one healing or a healing on the Sabbath day is bad, I'm going to go out and heal them all, thank God. And that's exactly what he did. Our Lord, my friends, the compassionate, loving Savior, went out and continued on in his work. Same as you and I need to continue on in our work and our service and labors for him. But then it goes on as the Scriptures declare unto this, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Now I want you to pay particular attention to verse 20. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And God's people said, amen to the reading of his word. Father, we do praise you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for your care, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your merciful tenderness, God, that you extend to us day to day. And Father, we surely thank you for that. And Lord, as we read these words here tonight, God, we pray, Lord, that you'd open the scriptures to us, that, Lord, our minds would be open and our spirits be receptive. And God, that we could leave here tonight strengthened in the power of thy might, not within ourselves, but of thee, my Father. So help us, Lord. Guide us and direct us. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in the lovely name of Jesus and his name's sake. Amen and amen. All right, beloved, as we look here, as I've already kind of just led in with this, there are times of the woes of that, of the worldly and spiritual infringements that come upon us. And as I said, even through that, sometimes it wears us and tears us down so much that we so get laxed upon God. And beloved, we're just not doing the work and the service that he's called us to do and that we would continue on. Yes, there are difficulties and circumstances and indifferences that affects our relationships and also our fellowship and service to God. But I want to say this to you here tonight. He will never cast us aside. He'll never cast us away. He'll never discard. He'll never disown us because, beloved, we were bought with a price. And he is always endeavoring to abide in us, desiring us to abide in him. Can I remember to say to unto you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us and we in him, beloved. That's exactly the commitment that he wants of us. And evermore we can remember that he knows better of us than we could ever know of ourselves. He knows of our pitfalls. He knows of our downfalls. He knows of all of our failures. But praise God, he is always there, constantly with us, never to leave us, nor to forsake us. But as we look here, and we just focus here on the text here tonight, that a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Can I say to you, beloved, tonight, we have that victory, regardless of what comes what may upon the child of God. I know that I've got the victory through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what besets me, no matter what befalls me, no matter what will cast me down, I know that the loving Savior will never discard me and cast me down to the praise and the glory of God. But as we look at this, I want to take this in two parts with you, beloved. Those that are of the beaten and battered, and then, beloved, those that have become just a little backslidden on God, a little wayward on God. And Jesus is addressing both of these issues right here in this particular text. He says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Beloved, as I think about the reed plant, if you go back, those who are students of the Word, and you look back into the Palestinian days in the biblical times, but you can also look even in this day and time, that the reed plant is a very tall and brittle and fragile plant that grows in the wild. Now, with that being said, this plant is so vulnerable to the things that can come upon it. And, beloved, it has no strength within itself. And it's strange, or do you think it's strange, that the Lord would refer to us as a reed plant instead of that of a mighty oak tree or that of a strong hickory tree or a maple tree or any other kind of tree that is a hardwood tree. Beloved, let me say to you, those trees have stability, strong stability, and those trees have strength. But the reed plant, my friends, as I have said, is very vulnerable to the elements of this world. And that's how you and I are. And beloved, when we think that we're standing in our own strength, you better look out for a fall. Because the Bible says, wherefore he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. But as we look here in the Word of God, and we look at this reed plant, as I said, it's fragile, it grows tall, but it's so vulnerable, again, to the elements of this world. And there, beloved, in those days, the storms that would come up, the strong rushing winds and all of these things, they would break and crush and topple these plants down, beloved. That's exactly how you and I are when the storms of life come upon us. Beloved, we'll be toppled down. We'll be broken down. We'll be beaten down. We'll be all of these things, beloved. But here, as we not only see that, we can see that the livestock that we used to run there into the fields, whether it be that of the sheep or that be of the goats or that of the cattle, the livestock in general, whatever it may be, they would come up and they would wallow these plants down as they made their way through and knocking them down and crushing them and stepping on them. Sometimes do you not feel like as a child of God that you're being trampled down and you're being stepped on and it seems like that you need a reprieve? You need to be able to be refurbished and refurnished unto that of your normal stature of where you was before you was cast down. Hey, listen, beloved, these things come upon each and every one of us as the children of God. But, beloved, even beyond that, we can see that, that we're told that the shepherds that was in the field, as they would tend to their sheep, that they would go and they would take these reed plants, cutting them down, they would fashion and configure and form a little instrument that they could pipe music. Yes, in other words, a little flute, if you would. And there they would make this thing to use it to pass away the long hours there in the fields. Now the shepherd stayed always with the sheep, whether it be day, whether it be night, and he would spend very long and lonesome hours there in the fields with the sheep, ever abiding with them and staying continuously with them. Do we know anybody like that? Is there anyone, beloved, that stays always abiding with us day and night? But with that being said, now this shepherd, he would take these and he would play this reed plant, this instrument that he has formed and fashioned. And then after a while, this plant would start losing its stability because it would start getting brittle. It would dry out and it would get brittle. Well, after it got brittle and whether it became of no use unto him, he would cast that reed plant away. Just cast it away. And then he would form him another plant that he could play the musical instruments and the songs that he was familiar with that they played in those days. But what I'm trying to say to you is, my friends, this shepherd would cast away the reed plant. It would be getting broken down. And there, my friends, it too would get trampled. But as we look at this, we can see that we have a different shepherd. We have a shepherd, my friends, that will not break us, that will not cast us away or cast us down. Beloved, we will always be of use to him if we would just make ourselves available to him. And as we look at this and we can see how this reed plant gets so broken down, I think about my times in the ministry, as I already mentioned to you. How many times as a child of God, and I'm not talking about the people outside of the church, so oftentimes, beloved, it's the people inside of the church that brings injury and affliction done to us. And how hurting that is, and how discouraging it is. But let me say to you, we need to stay united. We need to stay together. And there is no harm that should be brought to one to another. Hey, listen, we are to edify one another, and we are to lift one another up. In fact, the Scripture says we are to edify one better than ourselves. So So many of these things come upon us and break us down and cast us aside. And we get to the point where, what am I worth anything? I'm of no use to the Lord. There's folks maybe in here tonight. I would challenge you, listen, no, you might not teach a Sunday school class. You might not preach a message. You might not sing a song. You might not play a musical instrument. You might not be an usher. You may not be on a committee. You might not be a deacon. I think you're getting the point of what I'm trying to say right now. But listen, beloved, God's got a use for you. And listen, if it was things that you could used to do, but due to age or disabilities or whatever the case, well, you can't go it any longer and you can't do what you want to do and what you was used to doing. God still has a work. God still has a service for each and every one of us. Listen, beloved, we're here for a reason. And we're here to serve God. If He changes one field of that of operations, He'll provide another one for you to serve. You know, I'm not going to be able to preach forever. There's going to come a time that I'm going to have to sit and listen to other preachers. Just like teachers and just like everything else. The musicians, there may come a time that they'll not be able to play the piano or the organ because of arthritis in their hands. Are we just to quit on the Lord? Are we just going to say that, hey, listen, time and age and other afflictions have come upon me and there's no usefulness of me anymore? Beloved, I'm trying to say to you tonight, regardless of what your circumstances may be, regardless of what you're going through tonight, God still has a use for you. No matter how you're broken, no matter how you're battered, God says, a bruised reed shall He not break. Thank God for that. You know what? I think about so oftentimes these little saints of God, frail as what they are. I'm talking about they may be 80, 90 years old, but beloved, they'll come every opportunity that they can, as their body will allow them to come and sit in a church service. And there, my friends, they might not be able to do all of the things that we've mentioned here tonight, but you know what? They can lift a hand unto a holy and righteous God and praise the Lord that they have given them ability to be there that night. Hey, listen, beloved, there is a usefulness even for the slightest. Those of us that feels like there's no usefulness in, if we can just lift a holy hand up to God and praise Him, the Lord will bless it. A bruised reed shall He not break. But then there's another subject here, and I've got to hasten. Praise God! I don't want to preach myself of having to take kids home in my car. It'll be midnight before we get home. But He says, a smoking flax He'll not quench. Now here's where I get on some toes, probably. I heard some uh-huhs. See, I knew that preacher was too good to be. he done promised us, he said he wasn't going to get on us here tonight. Brother, I'm not getting on you. I'm just preaching the Word of God. God help me. God help me when I get to the point I can't preach the Word of God anymore. I'll lay this blessed book down and let somebody else pick it up. But until that time, I want to keep preaching it. But, beloved, there's a term that we often use for those ones who have gotten complacent on God, who's not serving the Lord the way that they were serving the Lord. They just seem like they don't have any spiritual vitality within them anymore. They just don't have any vibrance in them anymore to be serving God. In other words, they have slipped, slide away from God, doing the things that God has called them, that God has given them the talents and equipped them for, my friends, in His service. But yet, my friends, they have found the pleasures and the other things of this world to occupy them instead of being faithful and committed into serving God. I call them backslidden. I hear preachers all the time say, now listen, that word backslidden's in the Old Testament. That's not a New Testament word. That's just for backslidden Israel. That's talking about a nation. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not serving God and you're not walking God and if you're not following God the way you should, you're backslidden, amen. You can call it wayward if you want to. That's all right. You can call it away from God, and that's all right. I'll just call it backslidden, amen. I think everybody understands that term. And if you're not serving God, as God has given you the abilities and equipped you to serve Him faithfully and committed to Him, beloved, hey, listen, I'll say it one more time for record. You're backslidden, praise God. And I've been there, and I'm sure most of you have, if not all of you have. Yes, brother, there's something we can always be doing for God in our usefulness, in our service. But notice what the Scripture says. A smoking flax he shall not quench. Now again, I go back to the biblical times. As we would look there, and we would go back to the old ways of living in those days, the old candle lights, they would be there with oil in the base of the lamps in the way that they were designed, in the way that they were configured. And there, my friends, these lamps were styled in a manner to where they just had the flax or the wick. It's the same thing. The wick would come up out of the lamp. The oil obviously would feed into that, and it would draw the oil into the flax, into the wick. And there, my friends, there the flame would be started, and it would burn. But the variation or the difference between those lamps of old was that they did not have a chimney. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That little globe or whatever you want to call it, that chimney. And that chimney, it would protect that flame. Now, you can go up there and to a lamp that's made in this day and time, and you can blow on that chimney all you want, and that flame's just going to sit there and just steadily burn. But see, the old lamps of the old days, my friends, did not have that. And what would happen so oftentimes, especially in these old drafty houses, I mean, we don't have the insulation and all the products and the things, materials that keeps a house well insulated. We've got all of that in this day and time. But in those days, if a draft would come through the house, someone would open the door or maybe leave a window cracked or whatever the case may be, the air would come in, and the next thing you know, you'd see that flame that was burning steady all of a sudden start flickering and wavering. And ultimately, what would happen with that? It would go out. Smoking flax. And beloved, that is a stench that is so odorous, so foul-smelling, that nobody wants to smell it. Anybody know where I'm headed with this? Many of us, oftentimes, were like that flax. Our flame is interrupted by the drafts of this world. Y'all still with me? And beloved, these things can come on by the things of the world that will draft our light out. And some of these things, my friends, can come on by the devil that will draft our light out, our flame out. And then sometimes, beloved, it's within our own old selfish flesh that will extinguish the flame. But with that thing as it is, even that flax, that smoldering, simply what will happen with that and what the Lord is saying, that thing still has a little bit of a spark in it. And that little spark, as long as it's a spark, just as long as it's a flicker, it can do what? It could flare back up, couldn't it? Huh? And what Christ is saying in this regard, and what the Scriptures are telling us and distributing to us for our understanding is, He says that flax He will not quench. In other words, to quench that flax would be... He says, I'll not do that. You're backslidden on me. You're walking in the ways of the world. You're walking in the ways of the devil. And you're walking in the ways of the flesh. But even though at that, even though with all of that, I'll not extinguish you. I'll not throw you out. I'll not discard you. I still love you, and I will do for you. Even with a little bit of faith, I will take care of you. Beloved, as I look at the congregation in here tonight, I would be very reliable and correct in saying what I'm ready to say. Not everyone in here tonight is of the same faith. Yes, you might believe the same, and I hope and pray that you do, so that we can be like-minded of one accord. But everybody here is on a different level of their faith. You may be a person who has a lot of faith. There's nothing that will disrupt you. There was nothing that will disturb you. Regardless of what the doctor may say unto you, it's cancer. You've got 2 months to live, 6 weeks to live. It's not, your faith is still strong in God, saying God is in control of all of this. My faith will not be shattered. My faith will not be dismantled. My faith will not be questioned. I am standing for the Lord. But yet, you may be of little faith. On down the line there somewhere, and you may have been in church for 40 or 50 years, and you can still be of little faith. Amen. You may not have been saved but for a year, and you may have more faith than a person that's been sitting in church for 40 or 50 years. It's possible. Because some don't build on their faith. They don't increase in their faith. As the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Do you ask God to do that? But the point being made here is simply this. Whether you are of a great faith or a little faith, my Lord still loves you. And He still wants to help you. He still wants to provide to you of the necessities of the things that you need. And the thing that we need most is Jesus, praise God. And it ought to be the love of our hearts. It ought to be the desire of our hearts to serve Him with fervency, to serve Him with sincerity, to serve Him with a whole and completed heart. Jesus said, I'll not break you. And I'll not quench you. You know, one of the biggest stenches that can exist within that of the true Christian is that he can become a stench not only in his own community, but within his church. Sadly, to say that, it's true. Oh, I know so-and-so. They used to be faithful in every service. They used to teach a Sunday school class. They used to sing in the choir. They used to do this. I don't know what's happened to them. I just don't know. I hate to say it, but they come as a stench. They begin to be odorous because of how they have fallen back from their service of the Lord. Now, that being said, God does have a way to bring you back. If you're truly His, if you're not His, you don't have to worry about the correcting hand of God coming down on you in that regard. But if you belong to Him, praise God, my Bible tells me, not only in the Old Testament, but there in Corinthians and Hebrews in the New Testament, beloved, that there is a chastening hand of God that will come upon us. Hey, listen, and He'll not withhold. If He instructs us, my friends, to apply correction, God Himself will apply correction to His children. He's got a way of doing it. And He will do it. But you know what? I have to think of myself as this. I can see a little child. If you're truly saved, listen to what I'm saying to you here tonight. A little child can do something mischievous. A little child could break something after the parents have scolded them not to touch it, not to move it, not to have their hands on it. And that parent will smack the hand of that little child or smack it on the rump or scold that little child in some way or some manner. And the little child will break down in the tears and the little child is grieving within itself, sorrowful. But what does that little child do? The very one who corrects them and spanks them is the one that that little child runs to. I've seen it time and time again. Mama can sit there and wear it out, and who's it wanting to come to and cling to? The mother. The very one who corrected it. That's how we are as true children of God. When the Lord does sorrowfully, and it grieves Him to have to correct His children, that He has to spank us, He has to correct us. Beloved, even we ourselves with tears flowing down and our hearts broken, I don't know anyone else to turn to. I don't know anyone else to go to get things right other than the one, my friends, who I have done wrong and that I needed the correction and I saw the correction, I felt the correction, and I'm doing something about it. I'm returning back to God. Brother, listen. The farther you run the wrong way, the worse it's going to get. Sometimes I feel like I'm like this, getting my backside, smack the time or two. Do what you can for the Lord. He'll not cast you aside. Don't get discouraged. Don't become bewildered. Don't get wearisome in your spirit. Beloved, if we're cast down and we feel as if we're no use, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves because we have somewhere to go, someone to return to. And if you're like that in that state here tonight, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you so much to do that and to do what you can for the Lord. I'm going to close. I've got a whole lot more to preach to you, but I don't believe you could stand it tonight, and we need to go. You say, well, preacher, if you didn't have but 30 minutes to get ready, how in the world can you preach an hour and 30 minutes? That's all right. It's not me. It's God. But, beloved, let me say to you, if you would, turn your Bibles over to a very familiar text. I just want to point something out to you of so great of importance here tonight. In Mark chapter 14, and as soon as someone gets there, say amen. I heard an amen. Here we see the young lady Mary, who is coming to anoint the Lord's body for that of the preparation that's going to result in that of His burial. And as we see here, the anointing of Jesus, again, Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, and the Bible says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now notice, my friends, how she was being injured through the murmuring. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. This October the 9th, 2019, on a Wednesday night, beloved, I am still proclaiming a memorial to this one who loved the Lord, who served the Lord, that thought and knew within her heart, in every belief within her, knowing that He was worthy of anything and everything that she could do. Same as you and I, beloved. We need to step up. Don't let the things of this world beat us and batter us and throw us to the side. Don't let our flax become as it is, soiled in that of dampened, my friends, that we'd always be a bright light for the Lord, that our flame would not be just a flicker, but it would be a roaring flame that we could demonstrate to the things of God that we love Him and we want to serve Him with all of our being, with all of our might, with all of our power. I love those words there in verse 8. She hath done what she could. What can we do? You do what you can. The Lord will bless it. No matter how broken, how battered, how beaten, the Lord still has a use for you. No matter how far you've drifted away, no matter how odorous you may have become, not smelling too good for the Lord, God says there's still a little flicker in you, and I still have a use for you. I'll not cast you away because you belong to me. Do you belong to Him tonight? If you are you serving Him as we should be doing tonight? May God help us. May it encourage you. May it strengthen you. Everybody think I'm a mean old preacher? Or am I just preaching the truth of God's Word? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do thank You. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. Not only, Lord, did You love us, You saved us from that of the perils of hell. And Father, we surely, if nothing else, should lift up holy hands unto Thee tonight, Lord, praising You for being our great God and our Savior. And Lord, I've tried, by that of the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit here tonight, Lord, to help Thy people. And God, I know it's been a help to me, but Lord, I pray that You would touch and minister to each and every one here tonight, Lord. Lord, they may feel just a little bit inadequate in themselves, a little spiritually, Lord, just set aside. And God, I pray that You would just speak a word of encouragement to them, Lord. May You embrace them with that heart of love, Lord. And God, may You touch them in a special way and whisper in their ear, Lord, that it's all right. You're still mine. Lord, may that be the strength we need to step up into a new day and increase our love and our service unto You, Lord. So help each and every one, my Father, who is here in need. And these things we pray and ask in the lovely name of Jesus, and in His name's sake we do pray. Amen and amen.